Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, St. Louis, DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm. All right.
So sure. There's a ghost in the machine.
Sure.
Stuff's going wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, we...
Stream's not good.
Our stream's not working, and so we're going to give it some time to percolate, and we'll try to pull it up again in an hour or so. But if you're used to listening on the stream, our internet's fine. There's just something wrong with StreamYard, and we'll try to figure it out.
Yep.
It's place is full of bugs.
Yeah,
you know, is.
Bugs are everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, how about this message?
Hmm.
Upstream connect error or disconnect reset before headers. Next reason, connection termination.
If I had a nickel for every time I heard that.
Yeah, so do that.
No.
Easy.
I think it's just telling us
simple.
Turn it off, turn it back on.
You're not connected.
Yeah. It's amazing how I remember probably 15 years ago, an engineer asking a question. He goes, dude, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to tell you to turn it off and turn it on. And 9 times out of 10, it's going to work.
Yeah.
Nah.
That's true with like laptops.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrew and I have had plenty of experience with the hard reset of a video game system that locks up. Although that doesn't happen almost ever anymore. That used to be a regular thing, I guess, because we're not running on disks.
Yeah.
They used to freeze and lock up.
I know nothing.
Yeah.
I know nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Had an interesting day yesterday. I didn't do much show prep. I'm not going to lie to you. So today's a little dire. And then had a lunch that I had forgotten about. And so I just haven't done a lot of work, just being candid. And now stuff isn't working. So, you know, it always turns out to be the best shows. It's like you play your best golf when you're really tired and hungover. But last night, I did something I never do. I watched Wheel of Fortune. Haven't watched that in decades, probably. And, you know, they do the, like... Hey, Rachel Zimmerman. So, you're from Illinois. Tell me something interesting about yourself. You get a chance to be on Wheel of Fortune.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have something dialed up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And this lady from Missouri, I think from St. Louis, yes, I'm looking at you. Hers was, I don't go grocery shopping. I shop at a farmer's market. That was her fun fact.
That was the whole fact?
She's 50 years old. And that was her fun. And that's all. And what's his face? Ryan Seacrest was just like, do you own the farm? He's like, no, I just go. It's like a farmer's market. I just go buy fresh vegetables. Go outside and practice falling down. That's your Wheel of Fortune fact. You suck. They should have picked someone else.
And you're boring.
You're boring. So it made me wonder, what would your Wheel of Fortune fact be?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm glad you've broached this topic, Dave, because they do the same thing on Jeopardy every day. Mm-hmm. And I find myself getting extremely judgmental of the Jeopardy facts, too. Because sometimes people will go way too self-deprecating to the point where it's like, dude, you're on TV. You want to put your best foot forward. It's okay to be a little self-deprecating, but when your whole anecdote is like, and I'm a giant loser, like that really gets under my skin and bothers me, and I wish I could like coach them into a better fun fact.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I would probably, my Wheel of Fortune story would probably be like something about the show, honestly. It would be like, yeah, I'm on the radio, and it's fun. And I shop at a farmer's market on the weekends.
I think I'm going Bigfoot.
Yeah, you're going Bigfoot?
Oh, I think that's I'm a good going one.
That's interesting at least, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like, so.
That's got to be part of the goal, right?
They tell me you saw Bigfoot.
Chance at your follow-up story, which is where the glory comes in.
Yeah, right.
Maybe you go viral.
Right.
Yeah.
Andrew, what's yours? Toilet pick?
I think I would say
is it the haircut?
Yeah, I would say Mr. Jennings, none of your damn business. Get out of my face. Because I'm the same as you guys. I'm very much the same as you and Rach. I'm judging everybody and all they say, and I'm like, you're not getting me. I'm not being pinned down to one thing or another. I contain multitudes, and more importantly, I contain nothing at all. So do not ask me. Ask me no questions. I will tell you no lies, Mr. Jennings.
How is
next contestant, please?
How is Ryan Seacrest as a host? I haven't seen him host
exactly
the program.
Exactly. He's the opposite of me.
Yeah.
He's completely professional, disciplined, and boring as F.
I hate Ryan Seacrest.
He is so boring.
He's a nothing.
Human robot.
Yeah, he's a nothing. He's a outlet through which things move around.
He's
going
to make $1 billion doing it.
But he's pretty.
He's pretty. He's handsome. He is appropriate. He only says he's a company man.
He's harmless.
He's a That's harmless what he company
is.
Man.
Because the thing is, he's not handsome enough to be the go-to host for literally all things forever, but it's that he toes the line.
Yes.
He's a company man. He's never going to
cause trouble.
Never going to
take
mad.
A stand. Never going to be
fine.
Controversial. Never going to do it. He's gonna wake up.
Never going to give you up. Never going to let you down.
Doing everything the right
never gonna
way.
Never going to find a way
he's
to
He's going
to
dip his white bunny bread in a glass of milk and eat it, and then he's going to come to work, and then he's going to go home and dip another piece of bread into a glass of milk and then go to bed.
Oh, man.
Wheels, what would your fun fact be?
Oh, it would be something like you would guess it. It'd be like, well, Ryan, you know I'm a radio host. You know a little something about that. Love baseball. If I'm not doing radio, probably doing baseball or playing
video
games.
Oh, he's rehearsed.
And
he's rehearsed this.
I love dogs. And I like to fight. And that'd be enough.
Oh.
You know, do it real fast. Just get them all out there, and there's a lot of room for them to go.
Yeah.
I like to fight.
And then when the next lady goes and she's like, I go to farmer's market, you're like, you suck.
I'll fight you.
And you go, I'll fight you right now. I'll throw down.
And I just literally thought about that like while you guys were talking. I'm like, what would I say?
Not challenge me to combat.
I got to get all those things in there, right? Yeah, here's what I do. I like baseball, like video games, love dogs. And I like to argue, fight.
Those are all so much better than the ladies last night.
Yeah.
Boy.
Maybe they were nervous around Ryan, you know? You never know what's happening.
Yeah, that's a good point. She had it already.
Okay.
She had it set up.
Did she deliver it?
She talked like this. Everything was like this. And I just go and I buy whatever they have. What, do you have corn? I'll buy corn. Do you have rutabaga? That's what I'm going to... It's like, no, shut up.
Where do you get your steaks? I guess at the farmer's market.
Yeah, I guess so.
Ruined the whole damn game for me.
Yeah.
And they play it different.
How do you mean?
Like, I'm too old for Wheel of Fortune. They have made changes that I no longer understand.
Oh?
They have games within games.
Do they?
Really?
Yeah.
They freshened it up?
Yeah, they freshened it up on us.
But
we weren't looking. They shouldn't do that. It should be RSTLNE forever.
They had some sort of, like... Sudoku kind of crossword puzzle thing going on where you had to do it across and down and make them match up. And I didn't know that was going on. So I didn't understand why there was a one letter word that didn't make sense. And it was the top of the down one. And
I'd like to see them make a little reality TV out of it. Like, I want the R. And the other person can challenge. You know, I want the R. And then you got to get out there and do that like dual thing that they do with the big, you know, like they did on American Gladiators where you stand on a thing and you kind of duel. I'd like to see that. I'd watch that game show.
I had another question. We all love music, and we all love songs, and we love great songwriters. And if you named the great songwriters, and I'm not talking about Gershwin and stuff like that, because I don't know nothing about Birth and No Babies, but like rock stuff that we've listened to throughout our lives, most of the songs that we love were written by 19 to 25-year-olds. Rock stars. Beatles, Stones, blah, 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 right? And they know nothing about life. Like, you think about it, the average 20-year-old knows nothing about life. And they're writing songs that shape our life. And no one has any interest in a 65-year-old song. A 65-year-old person's song. Unless you're already super famous and a great songwriter. If Bob Dylan came out with a whole new, I don't think people would care. And it's interesting because he's obviously a great songwriter. He's now 75, 80 years old, whatever he is. He's lived a life. He knows so much. He has so much to say. But no, we're just going to listen to stuff you wrote when you were 20. Just a thought.
Yeah.
Well, when we're listening to music, I don't think we're listening for the things you described, like experience or wisdom or whatever, you're listening for a feel. And when you're young and fired up, that's what you hit. I think that's, we talked about this, I don't know if remember if it was on or off the air, about how hard it is for bands to keep making good music.
Yeah.
Like, they seem to have like a, I don't know, what would you say, like a 1 to 5 album window?
Well, you think
and
about
then
it,
after that, you're like, ugh.
The Beatles' early stuff was all like, I like you, do you like me, hold
right,
my hand,
right.
Let's
was
be boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah.
Right. And a lot of that stuff, even like Motley Crue and stuff, is the same thing, just in a darker way. But it's like
right,
boy
right.
meets girl, girl meets girl. And I think you probably lose interest in that in your 50s.
Yeah, and there's a band I like called Touche Amore. They have a whole album about it. About how it's hard to write music once your life starts going good, right? So when you're first starting out, you're in a band, you're writing your first album or whatever, your life probably sucks. You probably can't...
You're hungry.
Yeah, you can't get your stuff together. You're young, you're hungry, you're probably broke. Once your albums start becoming very successful and you have good big tours and you make a bunch of merch money, it's harder to write when you're like, okay, I'm doing pretty good. I found a great wife and I've got good friends and I have tons of money. I got a nice big house.
Write about your 401k and your McMansion.
Yeah, it's like harder to feel that passion when you're like, things are going. It's easier to write when you're, you know, depressed and sad and desperate than it is to write. When Springsteen wrote Born to Run, he was about to quit music forever. And he was like, I'm going to write this one last album, and if it is bad, I'm quitting music forever, and if it's good, then I guess I'll keep doing it. That was like his, that's why that album's so great. It was his like last desperate attempt to try and make something of himself.
I mean, and I think this is true for all artists, but typically pop stars don't last. There are a few that do, right? There are the small percentage that last 2 decades or whatever, but by nature it's popular, so it's going to be phasing in and out unless you alter with it, right? And the best pop stars that stuck around did alter their sounds and change as they went along, right? They evolved. But how many even of the greats that you can think of, bands, pop stars, whatever, had great albums 5, 6, 7 albums down the road, as opposed to just, you know, there's occasional song you're like, oh, that song, that gets it, they nailed it. But most of it's like, don't like that anymore.
I saw something related by a music industry guy who's probably my age. And he said that bands have always suffered over solo artists, even going back to like Sinatra, that because there are more people in a band and the only ones who were really making money are the ones who write the songs. And unless you're going to do like, okay, let's all take credit for it,
right,
which typically doesn't happen, because once it gets down to nut cutting time and it's like, well, who's going to get these checks and who's not? And he said that it's never been harder for bands to make it than today, because everyone wants the money, and to get the money, you should be the songwriter, you should be the solo artist, and there you go.
No, it's not.
I just don't think are as much fun. I'm just not a solo artist.
Yeah.
Guy.
Somebody, I forget who it was. I saw it on the TikTok, so I can't remember, but it was a British guy. Oh, it might have been one of the Jerk Brothers from Oasis, was basically making that point that it's almost impossible for bands at this point. Not impossible, but it's a lot harder for bands because everything gets propped up is easier if it's a star person,
yeah.
If it's a name, and you only have one person to support. You don't have to have 4 or 5 band members. That doesn't mean that they go away. It's just that's not what's going to be at the top of everybody's priority list.
Right.
Because bands still exist. Great bands do exist. And they tour every year. And they tour nonstop. So there's clearly demand. Just not the same kind.
Quick break. Right back. DGS. Welcome back. DGS. I saw a story today and I'm only sharing this so that you can join me in my hate. It's the only reason, because okay. It's not important. But there's this influencer, I don't know her name, and she's 25, extremely attractive, and she's been posting about how she's going to be a, not going to be, she is a NASA astronaut.
Okay.
And she is pegged to go to both the moon and Mars, and she's taken all of her training and all this kind of stuff, and everyone's like, oh my God, you go, girl, and you're the most amazing thing. And NASA finally weighed in and said, the best we can tell, she went to space camp as a kid. She's not an employee. She's not a consultant.
Not
she's,
an astronaut.
She's not an astronaut in training.
Yeah.
The best we can tell, she went to space camp.
Wow, it's almost like you could just say anything on the old internet.
And it's almost like people will believe just about any damn thing they see.
That is pretty fun. It's funny that NASA was like, not so much.
Yeah.
Not so much.
Yeah, when NASA feels compelled to say something.
Yeah, it's gotten too big.
Yes.
At that point, which is scary, crazy that it gained that much traction. Like, people will believe it. Like, do you know how long it is, how long it takes and how hard it is to become an astronaut?
Right.
Like, you're not going to just be like some person who's 25 and just be like, well, I'm an astronaut.
We had a crazy girl that worked with us a long time ago, 15, 18 years ago. And she was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and she claimed that her former job was getting the fake George Bushes. That she, her full-time job was to find and recruit doubles to be George Bush, and
Which
that
one?
Was her job, George W.
Oh, man.
And that she had been shot in the butt twice.
She's getting W doubles.
So.
Shot in the butt.
Well, that's a good place to claim you've been shot,
right?
Because no one's going to be like,
well, you
got to
show us this. No, yeah, everybody's going to be like, nope, that's not allowed.
That's actually pretty smart of her.
It is a really smart if you're going to try to like fool people.
And then she got called out on all of her lies, and she hit the ground and pretended to have a heart attack.
Another pretty good move. I mean, who's going to argue with that?
And because of that, we had to get a defibrillator and put it in our office.
At the office?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So did we find out no heart attack? Or did we just not find out?
The time watercolors my memory. I don't remember how the date ended.
Ever see the Chappelle show, but the big meme that when they're sitting there at a testifying and he's cornered and he just like smashes the glass of water all the way and takes off? That's the move right there. Just spill the water and run.
Fake heart attack. It's a way to go.
I'm going
to
do that the next time I'm late with the music so no one gets mad at me.
Just go down.
I'll be like, oh, man, you don't know what I'm going through right now.
Man. You know, on that influencer note, Dave,
mm-hmm.
Have you guys seen a lot of these? I see a lot on TikTok, but probably because I do watch weird, silly things like, you know, scary videos or whatever. AI is ruining it.
Yeah, I don't like AI.
And there are people that are just like, you'll see something and it's like, it's a 10-foot tall shadow monster on the front lawn and it's clearly AI. So, and people are like, oh my God, this is so scary.
I don't, when I go home to the privacy of my house, I can do anything I want. I'm not trying to be cool by saying I don't like AI. I don't like AI. Anything, and I typically just see it on TikTok, mm-hmm. anything that I can tell is AI, I don't care what it is. It can be sexual, like, look at the lady's boobies. It can be, you wake up and it's your point of view. You woke up as Jesus in AD 33. It's going to be a bad day. Like, just.
Oh,
I want to hear more about that first one.
The boobies.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I just don't like anything AI.
I don't think you're alone, Dave. I think most people have a bit of an aversion to it. And yet, like Andrew said, it's slop. It's being forced upon us by these social media companies. Mm-hmm. And it's quite troubling.
Wow, I've never seen Wheeler dance.
He looks so good.
Yeah.
I only do the Wham dance.
Yeah, no, it's good.
You just got to swing your arms and like hop around like you're happy.
Well, you're doing shaking it. Your butt too.
Yeah, no, doing it. You're wiggling that little hiney.
I mean, I did learn how to twerk.
If only the StreamYard was up.
Yeah, it's too bad we don't have video
cake
today.
Cake Wheeler.
Did you say Cake Wheeler?
Yeah, shake that cake.
Oh,
comma,
okay.
Wheeler.
Yeah, let's, okay.
Comma Wheeler.
I thought you just went Cake Wheeler.
That would be delicious. I would love that.
A
if
Wheeler
anybody,
cake? What, yeah. would a, what would a Wheeler cake be? Big, pink,
stout, and red.
Red velvet.
Yeah. Gotta have some sprinkles so it mm-hmm. looks like the freckles.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, I could eat.
And just doesn't stop talking.
Yeah, like they wrote on the cake, but they ran out of room.
They just kept writing.
Too many words.
Every time you cut into it, the next layer is more writing.
What would the Dave cake be?
I think he would be a yellow cake with chocolate icing.
You calling him yellow?
I don't mind that.
No, yeah. That's a solid birthday cake right there, I'll tell you what.
What's the best birthday cake? Like, what's the best kind?
Ooh, my birthday cake last year was so good.
I mean, there's the classic birthday cake. Like, just not even knowing what someone likes.
Yeah.
Hey, it's someone's birthday at the office, white with sprinkles. Like, I don't mind one of those.
Yeah, those are pretty,
yeah,
pretty solid.
Rach kind of nailed me. If I had to pick, first I'd pick my mom's carrot cake. Then I would probably say yellow cake, chocolate icing. And I'm talking like Duncan Hines.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
That's what my mom made.
I got no problem with box cakes.
That's the thing. If you're picking like, you get to name it. It'd probably be my grandmother's whipped cream cake.
Mm. Ugh.
Made every single bit of it from scratch.
Mm.
Every single thing from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
I'm picturing you with gray hair.
My grandma?
Yeah.
No. She was about Amy's.
Just so you know, everyone in your family is you.
Oh, no.
But this is, dad wears dad clothes.
This is on my grandma's, on my mom's side.
Okay.
And I don't look like that side very much. She's more like Amy's size. Like, she was short. And skinny, and, you know. But I only knew her as a grandma, so I don't know what she looked like when she was younger.
Yeah. I only knew her as a grandma.
Yeah. Although it's funny.
I almost Googled Wheeler's grandmas, if that was going to help.
She was
young. I
didn't
know her when she was
younger. It's so funny, but, like, she was, I'm trying to remember, she was maybe 45 when I was born, maybe.
Yeah.
So as a little kid, she was probably my age now, and I thought she was old. She's the oldest old.
I had a bad thought. So my grandpa, my dad's dad, was kind of a sack of crap. And he just was. And from the time I met him, he just laid on the couch. And he would lay on the couch and moan. And they all called him daddy. And whatever daddy needed at the moment, that's what they would do.
Jeez.
They just waited on him hand and foot. And I always thought he was an a-hole. But they just worshipped him. And you know how genetics work. And I spend a lot of time on my couch. And the other day, I got up out of my couch, and I was like, making old man noises. I'm like, don't tell me you're your grandpa. Don't. You're not going down this road. Save yourself before it's too late. Now, he laid down when he was about 40, so.
That's it, yeah. It was a little bit earlier schedule.
Yes.
Back in the day.
Yes. I mean, I think he had black lung disease, but whatever.
Everybody's got their thing. Everybody's got a problem.
Who doesn't have black lung disease?
Yeah. Everybody's got something.
Right.
Not special.
So we have some breaking news for the Cardinals.
So they made a bunch of transactions, and it was more than one thing, but we'll get to the simple part in the first, and we'll finish on the fun part. So the team just sent this out. So they designated Ryan Hallead for assignment.
Before you go on.
Yeah.
I don't know nothing about nothing.
Yeah.
I knew he should not be in the big club.
I mean, I didn't mind him on the big club as just a deep reserve that, you know, break glass in case of emergency, right-handed bat. I didn't like that he started three straight games against the Royals and then pinch hit for Nolan Gorman.
When he was 0-20.
Yeah, I mean, look.
And he became 0-31.
Yeah, he's a very talented, physically talented guy. He always has been. He was a high draft pick. He's big. He can run. He can throw. He's got power. It just hasn't played in major league games in his career. Now, he's not done. He's 26. He's not like 30. But it was just really strange, and it's even stranger now when you're like, yeah, all right, now we're designating you for assignment. Like, well, if that was the possibility, and this doesn't mean he's gone, by the way.
But it basically means we kind of don't care.
You're willing to take the risk of him going, of him leaving,
yeah,
which was, you knew this when you called him up, that when you sent him down, he'd have to clear waivers.
Yeah.
So they knew they were going to take that risk. I don't know, maybe they looked at it as a trial run and see if we should keep him or not, but... I mean, you're trying to win games, man. You know, it's not about trying out future bench players or anything, but that whole thing is weird. But he goes down, and Michael Ciani is back as the bench outfielder while Jordan Walker is still hurt. Jordan Walker starting his rehab assignment this weekend. So that'll be a good deal. Chris Roycroft goes down, and the one I think, this is the good part. This is the part fans can have a little excitement about.
Okay.
Is a reliever named Andre Granillo is going to make his major league debut the first time he pitches. So he's getting called up. 1.82 ERA at Memphis in 29 innings, 46 strikeouts. So that is 14 strikeouts per 9 innings, which is
great.
Out of this world. That is that even for the best closers and relievers in the world, that is an out of this world. And for his career, his strikeout rate is 12 per 9, which is, again, that's elite, elite, elite. So they're getting a big strikeout guy for the bullpen.
Is he like a middle reliever? Is he like a budding closer?
He could be. He has the track record of somebody that could be a closer at some point. He's not really been exclusively used that way in the minor leagues, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. He's 25, so he's not just a guy that's been around. I mean, he's a legitimate prospect.
Yeah.
But relievers are not generally viewed as big-time prospects. Just because of the nature of relief pitchers not having that much value, starters a lot of times get converted into that role.
I don't understand that. I am a student of the game. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you guys know, but I pay close attention. It seems that relievers, and especially like Matt's style relievers that can go two or three innings, mm-hmm. would be very valuable.
Well, the problem is, though, those guys are all starters in the minors. Right? Those guys are all that kind of player with that kind of talent. If they think you have upside, you're probably a starter in the minors. It's not 100%. This is why I'm saying this. It's not 100%, but it's mostly the truth. But Granillo's a big dude. He's 6'4". He's 250 pounds. He's not going to come up throwing 100. Okay. He's not Helsley. He's more of a like 95 miles an hour kind of fastball, but his pitch is his slider. That's what he gets all of his strikeouts on. That's like his number one go-to out pitch. So it'd be fascinating to see. I mean, you can't really argue with his minor league track record. He's been a dominant reliever in the minor leagues, for stretches. Not entirely. Like when he first got called up AAA, he struggled a bit in 2023. But last year was pretty good there, and this year he's been blowing people away. So not necessarily your closer in waiting, but this is a good player to get a look at.
I know
they need strikeouts.
They've changed the pay structure and the way that they're treated, especially in AAA. Is AAA a job? Like if you come to believe you're not going to make it in the majors,
yes.
But you can play five more years in AAA.
Yes, it's absolutely. The guys that have been around a bit, because they get to negotiate a contract, right? So if you've been around, let's say you're a free agent, but you're a AAA, you're negotiating a minor league contract. You have the ability to make decent money, like $100,000, especially if you're pretty talented and you can really help at that level. No, there are plenty of guys in the minor leagues right now at the AAA level that are what you described. They kind of see the writing on the wall. They've not really gotten their opportunity. Maybe they won't. But being a AAA player is a pretty good living if you're going to do it for, you know, even if you're going to do it for 5, 6, 7 years. It's not just bottom of the barrel money. That's more the lower levels. And the younger players that reach AAA, right? The ones that are still kind of under the team's control. The guys that can negotiate their own contracts, for that level, they typically get paid pretty well.
Gotcha. Okay.
And again, not getting rich kind of money.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, it's a pretty good job if you're going to make $50,000 or $80,000 and you're working 10 months out of the year or whatever.
I'm excited to see him. Did you guys see the story of the lady who went to Zoom court in her house coat and was making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches?
No.
Yeah, you need to watch it. She was just not having it. Her phone must have been on the counter because you just see, like, it's like you're in the peanut butter jar. And she's just spooning out peanut butter, and she's wearing a sloppy T-shirt and like a house dress, and she's making food for her kids. And she's late for Zoom court.
Yeah.
And she's like, look, I'm at home. I got it wrong. That's on me. I have to make my child something to eat. I'm sorry if I'm not dressed up, but this is how I dress at home. I have an overcoat on. It was just fascinating.
Okay.
And the judge was being exceedingly nice.
Nice.
He still, I think, held her in contempt.
Oh, really? For being late?
For everything.
Oh, okay.
For just being disrespectful to the court.
We have to have at least some like societal norms. One of those things being just be respectful if you have to be at court.
Yeah.
Like look somewhat maybe change out of your jammies.
These things don't
make the sandwich the 10 minutes after court is over.
Or get up early. If you know you have that and you know you got to get your kids ready, get up 20
but
minutes
everybody
early.
Everybody has an excuse for everything.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, you can't be mad at me. I'm actually the victim here.
Yeah.
I don't get why we're still doing Zoom court. Because that's what gives rise to this thing. I just saw, it was super viral. You guys might remember we talked about it. But the guy who was going to court because of his driving issues and not having a license and stuff. And he was on Zoom court
while driving in
the car. And he's like, hold up, just got to park. And the judge is like, Park, are you driving right now? He's like, yep. Well, not anymore because I just parked.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that one. It's insane.
Just pulled in.
All right.
But he's also, the kicker is He's in court because he's on an expired driver's
license.
That's
what I'm saying. These goofy shenanigans like this and ladies in robes making PB&Js, pre-Zoom court, these things didn't happen. You had to actually be at a courthouse and talk to people in person. So I just don't know why this far removed from the worst of the pandemic, why we're still doing this.
So when I was doing all of my national television stuff, hits, like I was that guy on CNN and Fox, they'd go like, oh, the LA riots, let's go to Dave Glover and see what he thinks. I was that guy for years, and I would always go to Channel 9, and they would put makeup on me, and I would sit in a real big boy chair with a real camera, with one of those ear monitors, and I would be on television. Now, it's just Zoom. Mm-hmm. And it's usually a crappy connection.
Yeah, some guy with just his laptop webcam.
And I really think that COVID just really lowered our standards for stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where like, just let him come to Zoom court. It's fine.
Yeah.
On KMOX, happy Thursday. Middle of the weekdays off are weird.
Yeah.
They're delightful, but they're weird.
I agree.
I think I've decided I'd rather work. Like I've had this thing my whole life. I think it comes from my dad. My dad was a worker, and my dad went to work when he was sick, and I'd hear him throwing up all night, and he would get up in the morning and go climb scaffolds. So I have this crazy work ethic, and I'm also super lazy. I mean, for real, it's like a real conundrum inside me. I am a slacker. I love doing nothing, but I have guilt, terrible Jack Glover working man guilt. And when I was in college, where you should be the most blowy offy, I would have a day where I didn't have classes or I wasn't working at the university, and I just felt terrible. I just felt so guilty.
Hmm.
Made me miserable. And so yesterday, I hate days like yesterday where we may have to go on for half an hour, but you don't know. But I also kind of love it. The way when you're about to run out of gas.
It's like the tension is so great.
Yes, the tension is kind of
our text group
delicious.
Is like, do you think? What do you think?
What do you think?
I try to give you guys updates on just like the pace of the game.
Is that kind of how they hit you, Rach?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just very grateful that we get to do stuff like that because I understand it's certainly an abnormal situation. So, but yeah, I feel the same way. I just get anxious about like, it feels wrong. Feels like I should be doing the show right now, mm-hmm. but there's no way to do that because the Cardinals are playing.
What time did you go on yesterday?
We didn't start till 5.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, so it got so close. Matt just finished up the local post game right at 5. And
makes sense.
We just dove right in, man.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Matt had that, and then rush hour, and then sports open line.
That's rough.
It's believe me, as I've done it, it's not as bad as you think it is.
Oh, I think it's
because there's just
bad.
So much you want to talk about.
I guess.
You know what, though? I throw out to you, that's less than 4 hours. That's less than the DGS.
Yeah, what's he whining about?
Yeah.
Oh, he wasn't complaining. He loves it.
That's like, what, three and a half hours-ish that he
loves
on?
It. Yeah, the only thing that lengthens those days is the this and this is believe me, this is not a complaint. It is just the time thing, because it's the fun part. Is you do your part of your job is watching baseball, which is why we love the job, right? That to me, I was working yesterday because I did what I would normally do if I was here on that day. The only difference is I didn't drive downtown because I would have watched the game and then talked about it after that.
Speaking of baseball, I heard back from the draft.
Oh, what happened?
From my old men's league.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm.
So, as I told you guys, I said yes to 53 and older and yes to 60 and older. And I meant to say no to 43, but I guess I said yes.
Yeah.
And so the 43-year-old reached out. The 43-year-old
team. The manager, yeah.
And I'm like, look, here's the deal. I'm 60. I'm pretty young 60, but I'm 60. And he said, why don't you just come out and work out with us? And we're going to have a practice next weekend. We're going to have a practice game. The 60-year-old guy who runs it is on vacation. He'll get back to you when he comes. It was delightful.
Nice.
It's a great community.
Yeah.
Like that's there because everybody's just there to have fun. Well, there are some people that take it too seriously, but for the most part, like everybody gets it. Everybody's just doing what you've always done your whole life. You love playing ball, so you go play ball.
I'm excited for you, Dave. This is going to be fun.
I am too. I might want to play catcher.
No, you don't.
Because I get to buy a whole suit.
Yeah, but then you get...
That's hell on the knees,
you know,
man.
You know how many people have said that, and then they start getting hit by baseballs, and they're like, no, I don't like this anymore.
Oh, I love getting hit by baseballs.
Okay.
Oh, boy, I like it.
Wait till your knees are cranky.
Get beamed.
Get those cranky knees.
I got good knees.
Yeah. No.
For now.
For now you do.
If you want to change that, be a catcher. I had good knees.
I'm not going on the road.
No, I know. And usually, a lot of teams split it anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen both ways where there's guys that like to catch whole game, but other teams will split it up.
I bought a catcher's mitt.
Look at you.
I know.
Where'd you buy it? eBay?
Yep.
Good.
Yep.
Good move.
Yeah.
It's already broken in. That's the best part.
And a bat.
Uh-oh. Did you get the right guidelines?
I don't know.
Because it's got to be a certain kind.
I don't know.
It'll didn't know illegal. There were guidelines.
It'll be illegal if it's not.
I think it's 40 inches, 17 ounces.
Oh, man.
So, yeah.
They've got a torpedo bat.
You got a fungo bat.
They've got a torpedo bat. No, Kevin freaked me out because he's like, well, they'll only allow certain parameters of bats. I'm like, well, I can't get garnishing because of my bat.
Yeah. Well, don't worry. Other people have bats. They'll just let you use it.
Yeah.
Thinking of, you brought up the catcher's mitt. I keep thinking of when we were all playing baseball last week and we kept sharing the batting gloves and they were getting kind of getting a little sweaty by the end. But then I just had the thought of like, oh, did Dave get those on eBay? I was actually...
No, those were brand new from Amazon.
Okay.
Yeah, those were brand new from Amazon.
I had gotten over it anyway, so I had mentally come to terms with it.
No, you know you're close when you can share batting gloves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.